From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The Bush administration has decided to let the United Nations play a larger role in post-war Iraq. It's an effort to convince more countries to contribute troops and resources to the stabilization of that country. American officials announced today that the United States is circulating language among the 15-member UN Security Council for a possible new resolution. U.S. officials say Washington will seek authorization of an international security force under a unified U.S. command. NPR's Vicki O'Hara reports.
The Bush administration has shifted tactics in the face of awesome military and financial burdens in Iraq. The U.S. administrator there, Paul Bremer, estimates that the cost of reconstruction alone will be in the tens of billions of dollars for the next year. Members of Congress say the money already appropriated for reconstruction is almost gone. In addition, a study by the Congressional Budget Office indicates the Army, unless it gets outside help, does not have enough active duty troops to maintain the occupation of Iraq past March. So today, in an unscheduled news conference, Secretary of State Colin Powell made this announcement.
Today we have begun a new effort with respect to our diplomatic efforts to generate international support for Iraq.
Powell says that he and U.S. Ambassador to the UN John Negroponte have begun consultations with other Security Council members on a new resolution. Powell says it would provide a UN mandate for a multinational security force in Iraq under a U.S. command. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says the resolution is an attempt to overcome objections by some governments, such as India, about sending troops to Iraq to support the U.S.-led occupation.
India expressed some concerns that they felt they needed some additional authority from the United Nations to be able to participate in the reconstruction and stabilization of Iraq.
U.S. officials say the resolution will enhance the authority of the United Nations in Iraq, something long demanded by countries such as France and Germany as their prize for participation. But the resolution might not go far enough to satisfy the critics. Again, Secretary Powell.
Certainly the United States will continue to play a dominant role, a dominant political role through the work of Ambassador Bremer and his coalition colleagues, and a dominant role because of the size of the U.S. force presence that is there and the leadership we are providing to the effort.
Powell would not be specific about how much real decision-making the resolution would give to the Security Council. Another sensitive issue is a timetable for ending the occupation. According to Powell, the resolution would invite the Iraqi Governing Council, which was appointed by the United States, to submit a timetable for basic steps toward restoring Iraqi sovereignty, such as writing a constitution and holding elections.
Many people have asked us for a political horizon, and this resolution is a way of creating such a political horizon and demonstrating how we would get to that horizon.
Britain worked with the U.S. on the proposed language of the resolution, and Britain's ambassador to the U.N., Emma Jones Perry, this month's Security Council president, faced a barrage of questions from reporters. One issue they raised was whether a U.S.-appointed Iraqi governing council can legitimately set a timetable for a political transition. Jones Perry said the council must be involved for practical reasons.
If you want to argue, is it legally recognized, I have to go back to a simple premise. We should be asking the Iraqis to tell us what timetable they wish. If we don't ask the Governing Council, whom should we ask? Answer, you do what you can with what you've got.
Secretary Powell says initial reactions to the resolution have been generally positive, but he cautioned that other members of the Security Council are just beginning to study the language. He says he expects to hear back from them by the end of the week. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.